Please be seated. Well, it is a glorious day outside. God has done a wonderful thing with this weather here in mid-April. But what a beautiful day He's given us inside as well, to be here again at Church of the Good Shepherd, to have a share in the ministry that Milton is so blessed and lucky to enjoy in this place, and that you are blessed and lucky to share with him and with Frank, who I've known since I was a mere lad, as I like to tell him. But he is the chief rabbi of the diocese, and I'm just glad for his ministry and that he and Betty are back here with us. I'm glad that Philip May is not here. I'm glad for the reason that Philip is not here, and delighted that you all have given him that very generous gift of a sabbatical. I look forward to hearing from him when he returns. I had the opportunity to sit in on the ministry fair. As Frank pointed out during the reading from Acts, the Acts reading captured some of the very first ministry fair. You've got all these people gathered around, and then the apostles start talking about what has happened, in whose name and by what power do you do these things. Where is the energy and the drive and the motivation for this coming from, and what is the source of your authority? Young confirmands presenting their projects, the ministry that they had taken on. It's wonderful. And if you haven't seen it, are y'all going to leave those boards up for a while? Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. That was, I was guessing right then. Thank you. And thanks to the teachers and the clergy who have given a good deal of their time to the preparing this excellent group. I guess they're all still here. There should be 11. Raise your hand if you're being confirmed or received. This isn't part of your instruction, so I know it's catching off guard, but raise your hand high so everybody can see you. Very important. Thank you. So I think they're all still here. So that's good. A good sign. They, but in a few minutes, they're going to come forward and they're going to reaffirm, renew the promises that they made or were made for them at their baptism. So I'll ask them if they reaffirm their renunciation of evil. And I'm not sure what John and Sandy did regarding sin with the class, but maybe everybody ought to do it, because it was apparently very memorable for the class. It involved sticking their hands in rotten food. Is that true? Do not tell your brother. John Mason's brother is our canon for the diocese, and he has a thing about not doing risky things. So I won't. Well, yes, I will. I'll tell him as soon as I see him tomorrow what you've done. But they will reaffirm their renunciation of evil, their rejection of evil, and then they will renew their commitment to Christ. And those questions summarize the six questions asked at baptism. The first three asked at baptism are about renouncing, rejecting, turning away from evil and sin and all that draws us from the love of God and degrades and destroys our lives and the lives of others. And then the next three questions are about turning to Jesus and what the life to which we are called through baptism by water and the Spirit. Then, of course, I'll ask the whole congregation, will you do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ? And they raise their hands, so you can think in specific terms. It's not a theoretical question about general support. It's about how can you, the people of Good Shepherd, support these 11 who are going to stand up here and renew these promises. One of the exciting things about welcoming people into the fuller life of the church in this way is that we make room for them in the life and ministry of the church. So for those that are younger, getting confirmed, for the youth that in the class, just keep in mind that you are closer in age to Jesus' first disciples than I am. You're a lot closer to the age of the people Jesus chose to come and follow than I am. And so for the church, be mindful that all of these people are ready. They're formed, they've been prepared, and you're promising to do all in your power to support them. So give them something meaningful to do for the sake of the church and in the name of Christ. By whose power and by what authority do you do these things? We know. In the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, we're called and we are sent. So those who are going to come forward will be taking up a ministry just by the act of doing what they're doing. It's kind of practice for what all of us are supposed to be doing all the time, because they will help us remember the identity we have all received at baptism. That we have been called into this relationship of love and redemption, of grace and mercy, by water and in the power of the Spirit. And the 11 who will bravely stand up here are doing an act of ministry by helping us remember that. So, what does it look like? What does that ministry look like? Well, it looks a lot like a sheep and shepherds. I don't know why that came to me, a sheep and a shepherd. A relationship of trust, a relationship of knowing one another, a relationship of walking together. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And the relationship that Jesus describes in today's gospel passage is not based on success or ability or effectiveness or intelligence, but on trust and responsiveness. In Jesus' day and up to this day, shepherds in the Middle East gather their flocks in stone-walled corrals at night for safety, and several flocks might be gathered and penned up together. And when it's time to take the sheep out to pasture, the shepherds enter the corral and begin calling to their sheep. And the sheep separate and go to their shepherd. They know the voice of their shepherd. They will not respond to other voices. The sheep know their shepherd and trust him. And that's the basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is one of trust. To have faith in Jesus means to trust him to be true, to trust him to be who he says he is and what he says he is, to trust that his invitation to come and follow is for us. So hear this again. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." On January 13, 1984, I was ordained a priest in the church. I remember the date so well because it was Friday the 13th. Guaranteed bad luck for somebody, me or the church, I'm not sure which. But the gospel reading that night, and Frank Fuller was there, and for some Frank, who has a scary memory, doesn't remember the sermon. He remembers some other things, but the gospel reading I picked was this that we heard this morning, Jesus the Good Shepherd. Now, I've always loved that passage for good reason. I'm sure you love it too, sitting in a church called Church of the Good Shepherd. How can you not? But I grew up in Church of the Advent in Brownsville, and behind the altar was an old, beautiful stained glass window of Jesus the Good Shepherd, very traditional. And as a child, I remember sitting there looking at Jesus looking at me. And that may have been why I picked that reading. But I also remember that I was a little uneasy and uncomfortable with the context in which we were hearing it, because Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And I did not feel called to martyrdom. It seemed a little overly dramatic for the ordination of a priest. I felt called to be a parish priest, not martyrdom, certainly. Not even abuse. But the preacher set me straight when he said, "You will lay down your life for your people because you will give your time to them." And what is time but the measuring out of your life? And so ever since I've heard this, not in terms of a dramatic laying down of our lives, but of the day in, day out calling of Christians to offer our lives and offer ourselves for love of others. And if you're a mother and you know what it means to lay down your life for your children, if you're a father, you know that. If you're a child and have been blessed and burdened with caring for a parent, you know the joy and the heartbreak of laying down your life for love of another. If you have friends, because what is life but the laying down, the spending of our time? How we spend our time is how we're spending our lives. When we love someone, we give our time. When we love something, we give our time. Part of the beauty of the ministry projects that the young people that were confirmed had to do was that they had to give quite a bit of time to that. It was practice for what's to come for the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus. To offer your time is to offer your life. And to offer your life in partnership with Jesus is a mysterious and profound and enduring gift of love. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The sheep respond with trust because they know the shepherd and know that they are known by the shepherd, and they are known by the shepherd, and they are owned by the shepherd. They belong to the shepherd. The sheep know that the shepherd is good. They know that the shepherd is good and trustworthy because they spend time with him and can see that. Jesus makes a distinction between the shepherd and the hired hand, between the owner and the hired help. There's a deeper and tighter and more enduring relationship when you own something. My father owned a couple of retail stores, and he had the privilege of worrying more than anybody else about his business. He was the first one there and the last to leave, and I and the other hired hands got to punch in and punch out and come and go and not think about it once we walked out of the store. The owner has a different relationship. The owner is bound in a relationship of care and stewardship that the hired hand doesn't have. When the wolf is howling at the door, the hired hand flees, but the shepherd goes in. And we are in a real and enduring way owned now by Jesus, by water and the Spirit and baptism. And we may not like to think that we're owned by anybody. We like to think of ourselves as free agents. But Martin Luther said in his subtle way 500 years ago, man is created to worship, and if he doesn't worship God, he'll worship the devil. If you don't like Martin Luther, Bob Dylan sang, "You got to serve somebody." I almost sang that, but so we are owned by Jesus, like sheep and the shepherd. We are owned so that we might be freed from sin and death, so that we might never, ever again be owned by sin and death, never again be bound up by the voices that call us into slavery, call us into fear and death, the voices that degrade and devalue human life. To know ourselves owned by Jesus is to know that we are free. And we are set free to live. Now, as wonderful and powerful as the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is, and as enduring and attractive as the Good Shepherd sheep analogy is, it's not the entire story. There's still something more, something even more beautiful to be told. The good shepherd who owns the sheep knows them each by name and loves them enough to die to save them. He calls them, and hearing his voice, they trust and they follow. And as they do this over time, listening and trusting and responding and participating in ministry projects and baking cookies when the bishop comes. All of those things come into play. And the sheep discover the most amazing thing happening. The sheep find themselves becoming shepherds. The church word for it is sanctification. Being made into holy people, being made into the image and likeness of God as revealed most fully in Jesus Christ. That's the road that we are on together by virtue of our baptism. The sheep find themselves becoming shepherds. Now, don't let it go to your head, because we're still very much sheep, and we're prone to wander, and we can be woolly-headed. You don't have to hang around the sheep pen too long to see evidence of that. But the truth is, Jesus, our good shepherd, calls us to come and follow and join him in this life of shepherding, not spectating and being in awe and wonder and watching what other people are doing, but to participate with him in his redeeming work, to take ownership with him for the care of those who are not of this particular fold, to live with him now in this life, not as hired hands, but as owners and stewards with him. We, of course, have a group of people that the church routinely calls shepherds, priests and pastors, rectors and associate rectors, and retired priests that keep coming back. And we have other shepherds who dress up a little fancier even than the clergy, and they carry a fancy shepherd's crook that you wouldn't actually use on real sheep. But the only reason that the ordained can be called shepherds is because the whole church is called by Jesus, called by baptism, to be shepherds in a world overrun with wolves, drowning in voices of lies and deception. The only reason individuals can be referred to as shepherds is because the whole church is called to join with Jesus in his work of shepherding. What happens, happens not by magic, but by grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. It happens when we offer ourselves, when we give our time, which part of the worship of the church is practicing, the offering of our time. It happens when we offer ourselves, give our time, which is the giving of our life, to the one who is the good shepherd, who gives his life for and to us. It happens when we spend time with Jesus, listening for his voice, straining to hear it amid all the other voices that call to us. It happens when we spend time with Jesus, listening in worship, in prayer, in the study of God's Word, in the midst of the fellowship and the ministries of this beautiful parish, listening for Jesus in the needs and the yearnings of those who come among us and those to whom we are sent, so that we go out confident that the Good Shepherd knows his sheep by name. The Good Shepherd knows each of you by name, and he calls you. And he waits. He waits for us to come and to follow. And he loves his sheep, and he lays down his life for them. And he looks out over this blessed city, and he gathers his sheep week by week in a place like this, so that he can then send us out as shepherds. Amen.